Chapter 42. That the first cause of the distinction of things is not the order of secondary agents. We may also prove from the same premises that the distinction of things is not caused by the order of secondary agents, as those maintained who held that God, since he is one and simple, produces but one effect, which is the first created substance, and that this, because it cannot equal the simplicity of the first cause, not being pure act, but having a certain admixture of potentiality, has a certain multiplicity, so that it is able to produce some kind of plurality, and that in this way, effects ever failing of the simplicity of their causes, the multiplication of effects results in the diversity of the things whereof the universe consists. Accordingly, this opinion does not assign one cause to the entire diversity of things, but a different cause to each particular effect and the entire diversity of things it ascribes to the concurrence of all causes. Now we say that those things happen by chance, which result from the concurrence of various causes, and not from one determinate cause. Wherefore the distinction of things and the order of the universe would be the result of chance. Moreover, that which is best in things caused is reduced, as to its first cause, to that which is best in causes, for effects must be proportionate to their causes. Now the best among all things caused is the order of the universe, wherein the good of the universe consists, even as in human affairs the good of a nation is more godlike than the good of the individual. Hence we must reduce the order of the universe to God as its proper cause, whom we have proved above, to be the sovereign good. Therefore the distinction of things, wherein consists the order of the universe, is the result not of secondary causes, but rather simplicity of the first cause. Further, it seems absurd to assign a defect in things as cause of that which is best in things. Now the best in things caused is their distinction and order, as shown above. Therefore it is unreasonable to assert that this distinction is the result of secondary causes failing of the simplicity of the first cause. Again, in all ordered active causes, where action is directed to an end, the ends of the secondary causes must be directed to the end of the first cause. Thus the ends of the arts of war, horsemanship, and bridle making are directed to the end of the political art. Now the origin of beings from the first being is by an action directed to an end, since it is according to intellect, as we have proved, and every intellect acts for an end. If, therefore, in the production of things there are any secondary causes, it follows that their ends and actions are directed to the end of the first cause, and this is the last end in things caused. And this is the distinction and order of the parts of the universe, which order is the ultimate form, so to speak. Therefore the distinction and order in things is not on account of the actions of secondary causes, but rather the actions of secondary causes are on account of the order and distinction to be established in things. Further, if the distinction of the parts of the universe and their order is the proper effect of the first cause, through being the ultimate form and the greatest good in the universe, it follows that the distinction and order of things must be in the intellect of the first cause, because in things that are made by an intellect, the form produced in the things made proceeds from a like form in the intellect. For instance, the house which exists in matter proceeds from the house which is in an intellect. Now the form of distinction and order cannot be in an active intellect, unless the forms of the things which are distinct and ordered be therein. Wherefore in the divine intellect there are the forms of various things distinct and ordered, nor is this incompatible with his simplicity, as we have proved above. Accordingly, if things that are outside the mind proceed from forms that are in the intellect, it will be possible, in things that are affected by an intellect, for many and diverse things to be caused immediately by the first cause, notwithstanding the divine simplicity, on account of which some fell into the aforesaid opinion. Again, the action of one who acts by intellect terminates in the form which he understands, and not in another, except accidentally and by chance. Now God is an agent by his intellect, as we have proved. Can his action be affected by chance, since he cannot fail of his action? It follows, therefore, that he produces his effect for the very reason that he understands and intends that same effect. But by the same idea that he understands one effect, he can understand many effects other than himself. Wherefore he can at once cause many things without any intermediary. Moreover, as we have shown above, the power of God is not confined to one effect, and this is befitting his simplicity because the more a power is united, the nearer it approaches to infinity, being able to extend to so many more things. But it does not follow that one thing only can be made by one, except when the agent is determined to one effect. Wherefore, we are not bound to conclude that, because God is one and utterly simple, therefore many things cannot proceed from Him, except by means of certain things that fail of His simplicity. Further, it was shown above, that God alone can create. Now there are many things which cannot come into being except by creation, such as all those which are not composed of form and matter, subject to contrariety, because the like must needs be incapable of being generated, since all generation is from a contrary and from matter. Are all intellectual substances, and all heavenly bodies, and even primary matter itself. We must therefore assert that all such things have taken the origin of their being from God immediately. Hence it is said, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and thou perhaps hast made the heavens with Him, which are most strong as if they were of molten brass. By the foregoing we exclude the opinion of Avicenna, who says that God, by understanding Himself, produced one first intelligence, in which there is already potentiality and act, that this, through understanding God, produces the second intelligence, through understanding itself as being in act, produces the soul of the sphere, and through understanding itself as being in potentiality, produces the substance of the first sphere. And thus, starting from this point, he explains the causing of the diversity of things by secondary causes. We also exclude the opinion of certain early heretics who said that not God but the angels created the world, of which error Simon Magus is said to have been the original author. Chapter 43. That the distinction among things does not result from some secondary agent introducing various forms into matter. Certain modern heretics say that God created the matter of all things visible, but that this was diversified with various forms by an angel. The falseness of this opinion is evident, for the heavenly bodies, wherein no contrariety is to be found, cannot have been formed from any matter, since whatever is made from pre-existing matter must needs be made from a contrary. Wherefore it is impossible that any angel should have formed the heavenly bodies from matter previously created by God. Moreover, the heavenly bodies either have no matter in common with the lower bodies, or they only have primary matter in common with them, for the heaven neither is composed of elements, nor is of an elemental nature, which is proved by its movement, which differs from that of all the elements. And primary matter could not by itself precede all formed bodies, since it is nothing but pure potentiality, and all actual being is from some form. Therefore it is impossible that an angel should have formed all visible bodies from matter previously created by God. Again, everything that is made to be, since making is the way to being. To each thing caused, therefore, it is becoming to be made as it is becoming to be. Now being is not becoming to form alone, nor to matter alone, but to the composite, for matter is merely in potentiality, while form is whereby a thing is, since it is act. Hence it follows that the composite, properly speaking, is. Therefore it belongs to it alone to be made, and not to matter without form. Therefore there is not one agent that creates matter only, and another that induces the form. Again, the first induction of forms into matter cannot be from an agent acting by movement only, for all movement towards a form is from a determinate form towards a determinate form, because matter cannot be without all form, wherefore some form is presupposed in matter. But every agent intending a merely material form must needs be an agent by movement, for since material forms are not subsistent of themselves, and their being is to be in matter, they cannot be brought into being except either by the production of the whole composite, or by the transmutation of matter to this or that form. Therefore it is impossible that the first induction of forms into matter be from someone creating the form only, but it must be from Him who is the creator of the whole composite. Further, movement towards a form comes naturally after local movement, for it is the act of that which is more imperfect, as the philosopher proves. Now in the natural order things that come afterwards are caused by those which come before, wherefore movement towards a form is caused by local movement. But the first local movement is the movement of the heaven. Therefore all movement towards a form takes place through the means of the heavenly movement. Hence those things that cannot be made through the means of the heavenly movement cannot be made by an agent that cannot act except my movement, and such must be the agent that cannot act except my inducing form into matter, as we have proved. Now many sensible forms cannot be produced by the heavenly movement except by means of certain presupposed determinate principles. Thus certain animals are not made except from seed. Therefore the original production of these forms, for producing which the heavenly movement is not sufficient without the pre-existence of those forms in the species, must needs proceed from the Creator alone. Again, just as local movement of part and whole are the same, like that of the whole earth and of one clod, so the change of generation is the same in the part and in the whole. Now the parts of those things that are subject to generation and corruption are generated by acquiring actual forms from forms in matter, and not from forms existing outside matter, since the generator must be like the thing generated, as the philosopher proves in 7 Metaphysics. Neither therefore can the total acquisition of forms by matter be effected by any separate substance, such as an angel, but this must be done either by means of a corporeal agent, or by a creative agent, acting without movement. Further, even as being is first among effects, so does it correspond to the first cause as its proper effect. Now being is by form and not by matter. Therefore the first causation of forms is to be ascribed especially to the first cause. Moreover, since every agent produces its like, the effect obtains its form from that to which it is likened by the form it acquired, even as the material house acquires its form from the art, which is the likeness of the house in the mind. Now all things are like God, who is pure act, inasmuch as they have forms whereby they become actual, and inasmuch as they desire forms, they are said to desire the divine likeness. Therefore it is absurd to say that the formation of things belongs to another than God, the Creator of all. Hence it is that in order to exclude this error, Moses, after saying that God, in the beginning, created heaven and earth, added how he distinguished all things by forming them in their respective species. Moreover the Apostle says that in Christ, were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Chapter 44. That distinction among things did not result from the diversity of merits or demerits. It remains now for us to show that the distinction among things did not result from different movements of the free will of rational creatures, as Origen maintained in his Periarchon. For he wished to refute the objections and errors of the early heretics, who strove to prove that the different nature of good and evil in things is owing to contrary agents. But on account of the great difference which he observed both in natural and in human things, which difference apparently is not preceded by any merits, for instance that some bodies are lightsome, some dark, that some are born of pagans, some of Christians, he was compelled to assert that all differences to be found in things have proceeded from a difference of merits, in accordance with the justice of God. For he says that God, of his mere goodness, first made all creatures equal, all of them being spiritual and rational, and these by their free will were moved in divers ways, some adhering to God more, and some less, some withdrawing from God more, and some less, and in this way there resulted through divine justice, various grades in spiritual substances, so that some were angels in their various orders, some human souls in their various states, some demons in their various states. And on account of the diversity among rational creatures, he said that God had established diversity among corporeal creatures, so that the more noble spiritual substances were united to the more noble bodies, and thus the corporeal creature would minister in all other various ways to the diversity of spiritual substances. But this opinion is clearly convicted of falsehood, for among effects, the better a thing is, the more does it obtain precedence in the intention of the agent. Now the greatest good in things created is the perfection of the universe, consisting in the order of distinct things, because in all things the perfection of the whole takes precedence of the perfection of each part. Wherefore the diversity of things results from the principal intention of the first agent, and not from a diversity of merits. Again, if all rational creatures were created equal from the beginning, we must say that one of them does not depend on another in its action. Now that which results from the concurrence of various causes, one of which does not depend on another, is casual. Therefore, according to the aforesaid opinion, this distinction and order of things is casual, and this is impossible, as proved above. Moreover, that which is natural to a person, is not acquired by him by his will, for the movement of the will, or free will, presupposes the existence of the willer, and for this his nature is required. Accordingly, if the various grades of rational creatures were derived from a movement of the free will, all rational creatures would have their respective grade not naturally but accidentally. But this is impossible. For since the specific difference is natural to each thing, it would follow that all created rational substances are of one species, namely angels, demons, human souls, and the souls of the heavenly bodies which regents supposed to be animated. That this is false is proved by the diversity of natural actions, because the mode by which the human intellect naturally understands is not the same as that which sense and imagination, or the angelic intellect and the soul of the sun demand, unless perhaps we picture the angels and heavenly bodies with flesh and bones in like parts, so that they may have organs of sense, which is absurd. It follows, therefore, that the diversity of intellectual substances is not the result of a diversity of merits which are according to movements of the free will. Again, if things that are natural are not acquired by a movement of the free will, whereas the union of a rational soul with such a body is acquired by the soul on account of preceding merit or demerit according to the movement of the free will, it would follow that the union of this soul with this body is not natural. Therefore neither is the composite natural. Yet man and the sun and the stars, according to origin, are composed of rational substances and such bodies. Therefore all these things which are the noblest of corporeal substances, are unnatural. Again, if the union of this rational substance with this body is becoming to this rational substance not as such a substance, but as having so merited, its union with this body is not an essential but an accidental union. Now, a species does not result from things united accidentally, because from such a union there does not result a thing essentially one, for white man or clothed man is not a species. It would follow, therefore, that man is not a species, nor yet the sun, nor the moon, nor anything of the kind. Moreover, those things which result from merit may be changed for better or for worse, because merits and demerits may increase or diminish, especially according to origin, who said that the free will of every creature is always flexible to either side. Wherefore, if a rational soul has been allotted this body on account of preceding merit or demerit, it will follow that it can be united again to another body, and not only that the human soul takes another human body, but also that it may sometimes take a sidereal body, which is in accordance with the Pythagorean fable, that any soul enters any body. This is both erroneous according to philosophy, which teaches that determinate matters and movables are allotted to determinate forms and movers, and heretical according to faith, which declares that in the resurrection the soul resumes the same body which it has left. Further, since there can be no multitude without distinction, if from the beginning rational creatures were formed in any number, they must have had some diversity. Therefore one of them had something which another had not. And if this was not the result of a difference in merit, for the same reason neither was it necessary for the difference of grades to result from a difference of merits. Again, every distinction is either according to a division of quantity, which is only in bodies, wherefore, according to origin, it could not be in the bodies first created, or according to formal division. But this latter cannot be without distinction of grades, since such a distinction is reduced to that of privation and form, and thus one of the condivided forms must needs be better and the other less good. Hence, according to the philosopher, the species of things are like numbers, one of which is in addition to or in subtraction from the other. Accordingly, if there were many rational substances created from the beginning, there must have been a distinction of grades among them. Again, if rational creatures can subsist without bodies, there was no need to set up a distinction in the corporeal nature on account of the various merits of rational creatures, since even without a diversity of bodies it was possible to find various grades in rational substances. And if rational substances cannot subsist without bodies, it follows that the corporeal creature also was formed from the beginning together with the rational creature. Now the corporeal creature is further removed from the spiritual, then spiritual creatures are from one another. If, therefore, God from the beginning established such a great distance among his creatures without any previous merits, there was no need for a difference of merits to proceed in order that rational creatures should be established in different grades. Further, if the diversity of corporeal creatures corresponds to the diversity of spiritual creatures, for the same reason the uniformity of corporeal nature would correspond to the uniformity of rational creatures. Therefore the corporeal nature would have been created even if the preceding merits of the rational creature had been not different but uniform. Hence primary matter would have been created, which is common to all bodies, but under one form only. But in it there are many forms in potentiality. Wherefore it would have remained imperfect, its one form alone being reduced to act, and this is unbefitting the divine goodness. Again, if the diversity of the corporeal creature results from the different movements of the rational creature's free will, we shall have to say that the reason why there is only one sun in the world, is because only one rational creature was moved by its free will in such a way as to merit to be united to such a body. Now it was by chance that only one sinned thus. Therefore it is by chance that there is only one sun in the world, and not for the need of corporeal nature. Further, since the spiritual creature does not merit to be degraded except for sin, yet it is degraded from its height, wherein it is invisible, through being united to visible bodies, it would seem to follow that visible bodies are joined to spiritual creatures on account of sin. And this would seem to approach to the error of the Manichees, who said that these visible things proceeded from the evil principle. The authority of Holy Writ is an evident contradiction with this error, for in each making of visible creatures Moses speaks in terms such as these: God saw that it was good, etc. And afterwards, in reference to all, he adds God saw all the things that he had made, and they were very good. Hence we are clearly given to understand that the corporeal and visible creatures were made because it is good for them to be, and this is in keeping with the divine goodness, and not on account of any merits or sins of rational creatures. Origen seems not to have taken into consideration that, when we give a thing not as a due, but as a free gift, it is not contrary to justice if we give unequal things, without weighing the difference of merits, since payment is due to those who merit. Now God, as stated above, brought things into being, not as though it were due to them, but out of mere bounty. Therefore the diversity of creatures does not presuppose diversity of merits. Again, since the good of the whole is better than the good of each part, it does not befit the best maker to lessen the good of the whole in order to increase the good of some of the parts. Thus a builder does not give to the foundation the goodness which he gives to the roof, lest he should make a crazy house. Therefore God the maker of all would not make the whole universe the best of its kind, if he made all the parts equal, because many degrees of goodness would be wanting to the universe, and thus it would be imperfect. Chapter 45. What is in truth the first cause of the distinction of things? From what we have said it may be shown what is truly the first cause of the distinction of things. Since every agent intends to induce its likeness into its effect, as far as the effect can admit of it, it does this the more perfectly, according as it is more perfect itself. For it is clear that the hotter a thing is, the hotter it makes a thing, and the better the craftsman, the more perfectly he induces the form of his art into matter. Now God is the most perfect agent. Therefore it belonged to God to induce his likeness into created things most perfectly, as far as is befitting to a created nature. But created things cannot come by a perfect likeness to God, with respect to only one species of the creature, because, since the cause surpasses its effect, that which in the cause is simply and unitedly, is found in the effect to have a composite and multiple nature, unless the effect reach to the species of the cause, which does not apply to the case in point, since the creature cannot be equal to God. Therefore there was need for multiplicity and variety in things created, in order that we might find in them a perfect likeness to God according to their mode. Moreover, just as things made of matter are in the passive potentiality of matter, so things made by an agent must be in the active potentiality of the agent. Now the passive potentiality of matter would not be perfectly reduced to act if one only of those things to which matter is in potentiality were reduced to act. Therefore if an agent, whose potentiality embraces several effects, were to make only one of them, its potentiality would not be so perfectly reduced to act as when it makes several. Now by the active potentiality being reduced to act, the effect receives the likeness of the agent. Therefore there would not be a perfect likeness of God in the universe, if all things were of one degree. For this reason therefore is the distinction in created things, in order that they may receive God's likeness more perfectly by multiplicity than by unity. Further, a thing approaches the more perfectly to God's likeness, according as it is like Him in more things. Now in God is goodness, and the outpouring of that goodness into other things. Therefore the creature approaches more perfectly to God's likeness if it is not only good, but can also act for the goodness of other things, than if it were merely good in itself, even as that which both shines and enlightens is more like the sun than that which only shines. Now a creature would be unable to act for the goodness of another creature, unless in creatures there were plurality and inequality, because the agent is distinct from and more noble, comma, than the patient. Therefore it was necessary that there be also different species of things, and consequently different degrees in things. Again, a plurality of goods is better than one finite good, since they contain this and more besides. Now all goodness of the creature is finite, for it fails of God's infinite goodness. Therefore the universe of creatures, if they are of many degrees, is more perfect than if things were of but one degree. But it becomes the sovereign good to make what is best. Therefore it was becoming that it should make many degrees of creatures. Further, the goodness of the species surpasses the good of the individual, even as the former exceeds that which is material. Hence multitude of species adds more to the goodness of the universe than multitude of individuals in one species. Therefore it concerns the perfection of the universe, that there be not only many individuals, but that there be also different species of things, and consequently different degrees in things. Again, whatever acts by intellect, reproduces the species of its intellect in the thing made, for thus an agent by art produces his like. Now God made the creature as an agent by intellect and not by a necessity of his nature, as we proved above. Therefore the species of God's intellect is reproduced in the creature made by Him. But an intellect that understands many things is not sufficiently reproduced in one only, since, then, the divine intellect understands many things, as was proved in the first book. It reproduces itself more perfectly if it produces many creatures of all degrees than if it had produced one only. Moreover, supreme perfection should not be wanting to a work made by the supremely good workman. Now the good of order among diverse things is better than any one of those things that are ordered taken by itself, for it is formal in respect of each, as the perfection of the whole in respect of the parts. Therefore it was unbecoming that the good of order should be wanting to God's work. Yet this good could not be if there were no diversity and inequality of creatures. Accordingly, there is diversity and inequality in things created, not by chance, not as a result of a diversity of matter, not on account of certain causes, or merits, intervening, but from God's own intention, in that He willed to give the creature such perfection as it was possible for it to have. Hence it is said God saw all the things that He had made, and they were very good, after it had been said of each that they are good. For each one in its nature is good, but altogether are very good, on account of the order of the universe, which is the ultimate and noblest perfection in things. Chapter 46. That for the perfection of the universe it was necessary that there should be some intellectual creatures. Such being the cause of diversity among things, it remains for us to inquire into the diverse things, as far as this concerns the truth of faith, for this was the third thing we proposed to do. We shall show, first, that as a result of the divine ordinance allotting to creatures that perfection which is best in keeping with their mode, certain creatures were made intellectual so as to occupy the highest point in the universe. For then is an effect most perfect when it returns to its source. Wherefore of all figures the circle, and of all movements the circular, are the most perfect, because in them a return is made to the beginning. Hence, in order that the universe of creatures may attain its ultimate perfection, creatures must return to their principle. Now each and every creature returns to its principle, in so far as it bears a likeness to its principle, in keeping with its being and nature, wherein it has a certain perfection, even as all effects are most perfect when they are most like their effective cause, as a house when it is most like art, and fire when it is most like its generator. Since then God's intellect is the principle of the creature's production, as we proved above, it was necessary for the creature's perfection that some creatures should be intelligent. Moreover, second perfection in things adds to first perfection. Now, as the being and nature of a thing is considered as pertaining to its first perfection, so is operation considered as belonging to its second perfection. Wherefore, for the complete perfection of the universe, there should be some creatures which return to God not only in likeness of nature, but also by their operation. And this cannot be saved by the act of the intellect and will, since not even God himself has any other operation towards himself than these. Therefore it was necessary for the greatest perfection of the universe that there should be some intellectual creatures. Further, in order that creatures might render perfectly a representation of the divine goodness, it was necessary, as above stated, that things should not only be made good, but also that they should operate for the goodness of others. Now a thing is perfectly likened to another in its operation, when not only the action is of the same species, but also the mode of acting is the same. Hence it was necessary, for the highest perfection of things, that there should be some creatures who act in the same way as God. But it has been proved above, that God acts by intellect and will. Therefore it was necessary for some creatures to have intelligence and will. Moreover, likeness of the effect to its efficient cause is considered on the part of the effect's form which pre-exists in the agent, for an agent produces its like as regards the form whereby it acts. Now the form of the agent is received in the effect sometimes indeed according to the same mode of being as it has in the agent. Thus the form of the fire generated has the same mode of being as the form of the generating fire, and sometimes, according to another mode of being, thus the form of the house which exists intelligibly in the craftsman's mind, is received in the house that is outside the mind, according to a material manner, and it is clear that the former likeness is more perfect than the latter. Now, the perfection of the universe of creatures consists in a likeness to God, just as the perfection of every effect consists in a likeness to its efficient cause. Therefore the highest perfection of the universe requires not only the second likeness of the creature to God, but also the first, as far as possible. But the form whereby God produces the creature, is an intelligible form in him, since he is an agent by intellect, as proved above. Therefore the highest perfection of the universe requires that there should be some creatures in which the form of the divine intellect is reproduced according to an intelligible mode of being, and this means that there should be creatures of an intellectual nature. Again, nothing but his goodness moves God to the production of creatures, which goodness he wished to communicate to other things by way of likeness to himself, as shown above. Now likeness to another is found in a thing in two ways. In one way, as regards natural being, as the likeness of fiery heat is in the thing heated by fire; in another way, as regards knowledge, as the likeness of fire is in sight or touch. In order, therefore, that the likeness of God might be in things in such ways as are possible, it behoved that the divine goodness should be communicated by likeness not only in being but also in knowledge. But an intellect alone is capable of knowing the divine goodness. Therefore it was necessary that there should be intellectual creatures. Further, in all things becomingly ordered, the relation of second to last imitates the order of first to all, both second and last, though sometimes defectively. Now it has been proved that God comprises all creatures in himself, and this is reproduced in corporeal creatures, although in a different way, for the higher body is even found to comprise and contain the lower, yet according to quantitative extension, whereas God contains all creatures in a simple manner, and not by extension of quantity. Hence, in order that the imitation of God in this way also might not be lacking to creatures, intellectual creatures were made that prize and contain the lower, yet according to quantitative extension, but simply by way of intelligibility, since what is understood is in the intelligent subject, and is grasped by his intellectual operation.